Welcome to the Lower Room Discourse, where we talk about the Bible in fun and interesting ways. Well, hello and welcome back to the Lower Room Discourse. This is Garland with Tad and Caleb and Daniel sitting off to the side laughing at us as we go. We are going to follow up on a previous episode that we did. We had previously done an episode, and you can go back and listen to it and debate what you thought. We were just debating it again. We had an episode called What is the Best Piece of Memorabilia from the Old Testament, which sets up a sequel, which we will now do. What would we say is the best piece of memorabilia from 90s basketball?
That's where we're going to go
in this particular episode.
That's
the logical sequence from that first one.
Well, it's got to be one of Jordan's shoes.
Of course, yes.
His first pair of shoes.
The first Air Jordan would be,
Jordan ones.
So we'll go New Testament this time around.
The fours? Daniel's shaking his head. Do you go fours?
Twos?
11s?
It's the either 96 or 98 11s.
Yeah, the
11s. The white with the shiny leather black.
Yeah, they were really nice.
I had a version of those that I got at Shoe Carnival.
That's his most expensive shoe.
But what
do you think is his most iconic?
I actually think it's that one or the red. One. I like the one in the dunk contest he was wearing, the four. Yeah.
It's the four.
Is it the four?
It's what everybody loves.
Yeah.
So I just figured out how to, if you have an iPhone, that thing where when you call somebody or text somebody, you can put a picture that shows up. And shamelessly, mine is Jordan having one of his dunks. And people are frequently taken aback by this and ask me about it. And my response always is, I want you to be inspired by greatness whenever I call or text you. And then they're like, but it's you on the other end of the line. So I'm like, well, I know. I was trying to set it up for
you.
Maybe
need all the help
little
you can
bit,
get yeah, is what
a little bit higher expectations when you see me calling or texting. Okay, so New Testament memorabilia. From the Old Testament, our podium was gold. Go back to the last one. The gold was the broken tablets that Yahweh had written on that Moses came down the mountain and smashed.
That's
so that God had written them on those stones for the people of Israel. That was gold. Our silver, we settled, it seems, on, it was really a toss-up between Abraham's dagger that he was going to kill Isaac with in Genesis 22, or it was going to be Goliath's sword that David then takes and makes his own after killing Goliath.
Which we chose.
That was our silver. I think the argument that I had made for that was that just looks incredible in a man cave. Tad
wants the dagger.
You still want the dagger. Make the case for the dagger real quick.
I think it is more connected to a more significant Old Testament moment, because that moment, the testing of Abraham's faith, set so much else in movement.
I will see your significant, but I will raise you in famous with David and Goliath. I mean, I have fame on my side on that one.
But we're talking about what I wanted in my office for memorabilia, and I choose
which do you think is more valuable? Like, just
probably
price
the
tag.
The sword takes value.
And then,
just for famous.
My value pick, though, in that episode was the golden calf, because made pure gold.
Right.
You wanted pure gold of the golden calf.
Bronze was Lot's wife.
That was my sentimental one. Lot's wife was not on there.
The pillar of salt.
If you go back and listen to the episode, then you will realize that Caleb thought we were doing from all the Bible and didn't bring any answers. He was making them up on the spot, and he had answers like Lot's wife,
which should have been
a pillar of
there.
Salt. So, what was the bronze? We were debating various things.
The horn, the shofar.
You were about to say the horn of Gondor.
The horn
you?
Of Gondor. That's blown by Boromir. No, one of the shofars. Blown at the Battle of Jericho.
As long as it was authentic.
Yes.
Yes, perfect. Well, with that in mind, we will begin this particular episode. And we're looking for New Testament memorabilia. And so again,
good clarification.
Authentic is key here.
Yeah.
And we're assuming on all of these that it came with some kind of like documentation proving it was real. And we're also taking into account on this one that it doesn't necessarily mean most expensive, although that's obviously maybe a factor, but just best piece of memorabilia. Could be personal, could be because it's famous, and maybe one last caveat on this one. We're taking all things associated with the crucifixion,
resurrection
passion,
as well.
Crosses out.
Cross.
The stone that was rolled away, out.
Well, I didn't say that, but
that's
let's take that out.
Crucifixion and resurrection.
I said cross. I didn't say resurrection.
He did.
We'll, We'll take resurrection out as well. So anything related to the
linen
passion,
he was wrapped in.
Yeah, because the linen things that actually is like it out there as well. Like,
that's why the reason
piece.
I'm taking it out is there's like so many church communities that have what they say is the crown of thorns and the linen shroud and the spot where the stone was. So
are we also taking out original full manuscripts?
That's a good question.
No, those are in play.
I know, but that's automatic gold.
We'll see how the audience.
Okay,
thinks.
I'm going so, first.
Caleb wants to go first.
Every original manuscript of every New Testament letter.
You can't pick all of them. You get to pick one.
Sorry, did it.
He just said, somehow.
That's why that can't be on
so
there.
So Caleb just perpetuated a faulty view of how the Bible came to be, which is it came out of the sky in one manuscript altogether.
I said
he did it,
all of them.
And he hates that he did it, too.
I said all of them.
So you want all of them as they were originally authored in the various locations.
I believe that's what all original manuscripts from every New Testament letter means.
But it sounded like you said one manuscript of all of them. Okay, I'll give him that. So let's take manuscripts out.
Are we taking
manuscripts
out?
That's right. Manuscripts can be off the table. Yes.
Just because it's a clear, like...
Okay. It's too easy.
It's too easy.
And it would be... There's no price. Like, just price. No, so many of our questions would be answered. Do you still want to go first, Caleb?
Hey, yes, we can.
Though Tad is
wanting to go first. I want to go first.
All right,
it's really because I only have one good one.
I was going to take a moment.
I don't want it to get taken because I only had two answers planned and one of them was a manuscript. So
I won't take it.
Mine.
But I was just going to say the Bible still is trustworthy, even though we're saying original manuscripts would be valuable.
I love your little bit of sensitivity to that. Well, like you really needed to come back and say that.
I think there are some people that...
There is enough content at... the people's disposal on the internet to go actually research this and answer a lot of their questions and reach a valuable place. They just haven't put time into it.
Go read John Salehammer's Bible. Yeah. It's like 100 pages, super easy. It makes sense of a lot of things.
If you are out there for just a pure pastoral moment and with any doubt or question mark about it, you can let any of us know. We'll go get coffee and talk about it. Yes, there are lots and lots of early manuscripts of our Bible, but our earliest ones, many of them date to about 100 years after. So Caleb saying we're going to take this off the table, we would close that 100 to 150 year gap with those, and it would be outrageous. Like every single museum in the world would be in the running for those.
Yeah.
And we had that actually happen back in the 40s with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so those were found, and the story behind the Dead Sea Scrolls is fascinating, how they were found. It was an accident. They didn't know what they had. It was smuggled out of the southern part of Israel. Actually, of course, all things end up in New York, but then somehow ends up back in the hands of an Israeli curator and museum. There was actually an ad put out for it in a New York paper just saying, old looking manuscripts, looks valuable. It was like $200,000, did not know what they had.
Wild.
And then it ends up being somehow connected to the Israel Museum. Then it gets brought back to Israel.
It's just
fascinating.
I've heard some story too that wasn't a kid wearing them at like parts of the parchment on his feet.
And the worst part is the guy that it was initially smuggling, kind of getting them out.
Right.
He buried them in the boards under his house, and water came in. And one that we don't know what it was because they didn't do the research on it, but it got ruined. Like he lost one. So what was it?
What was it?
What was that? So again, we're now nerding out.
It was 1 Corinthians. You know what it was? It was 1 Corinthians.
That's the one you want of all of them? If you had to pick one, is it 1 Corinthians?
Well, we talked about it. That answers a ton of stuff.
Yeah, the real
1 Corinthians would really be helpful to find. Okay.
All right.
Tad wants to go first because he's feeling that insecure about his non-answers.
I feel very confident about only one.
Okay.
I want one of the jugs from the wedding at Cana.
That's a good one.
Good.
That's one of mine. I wanted a bottled version of it.
Yeah. I only just want the jug that came in.
The empty jug?
The empty jug is enough because it would look old, it would look authentic, and because I think a bottled version of the wine from that wedding, people could lie about that. People lie about wine all the time.
This is with the...
You're also never going to drink
authenticity. Okay, yeah, that's true. And you're never going to drink it.
If you could be certain that the bottle that you had was from one of those six jugs, because one of my answers is not one of the ones I won't suggest now that you're taking it. One of mine was a 2,000-year-old, nearly now, because we're coming up on the dates of this. It would be a nearly 2,000-year-old bottle of vintage Jesus wine.
Water to wine.
You don't get any better than that. Now, when do you open it?
You never
drink it. You never open it.
At the return of Christ.
Yeah.
Let's say
it was like a Tuesday, yeah. and it was just a long day at the office. You just say, you know, honey, let's just open this thing up tonight.
No, you never open it.
I tell you the perfect moment you do that.
Jesus returns, he opens it.
Jesus told them at the Last Supper.
I won't drink again.
He said, I won't drink this cup again until I come with coming into my kingdom.
Do you think he had all wine or the wine he had bottled from the party in mind? What do you think he had in mind there?
I think he meant specifically the ceremonial Passover cup. And the thought of getting to have that cup and that experience at the full expression of the kingdom and the true wedding banquet. That's when you open
it. What it stands for.
You open his first miracle wine at the wedding, at the great wedding, the end of time.
I hadn't thought about that one, and I'm kind of sold on it. So, Garland,
one of my answers is Jesus won. So
specifically though, I want one of the large stone jars that the servants go and bring the water in that he turns it into.
So if you go look the passage up, it's in John 2. One time I did the data, and I can't exactly remember the number, but it was over 100.
Maybe over 100 gallons.
I did the math with it up against Boda boxes. And it's well over 100, and I actually put them all on the screen to show how much because these are massive. There were six jars of these things, ceremonial washing jars full of water, and all of them are turned to wine. And so it ends up being hundreds of Boda boxes. So that's a party. That's quite the party. Okay. Are you next, Caleb?
No, take it.
Okay. This would not be a manuscript, okay? But, so this gets to go in, I think.
Okay.
When Paul is addressing Timothy, he says, hey, when you come, and we'll see this with Paul a lot, he'll say, greet so-and-so and bring this and do that. In 2 Timothy, he tells him, when you come and visit, and it's like he's really urgent about it, he says, bring, and then the translations are different, but basically it's bring the, we would probably translate it as the notebooks and the scrolls. And what I want to know is, when Paul finds himself kind of with the Timothy letters, we're not exactly sure where he's at in his ministry, we're not exactly sure the dating of them, but when Paul really needs Timothy to come through for him, he says, don't forget to bring the notebooks and the scrolls. What does he want? The scrolls, I'm assuming, is a copy of some Old Testament text. Is it Isaiah? Is it, I think that tells us so much about Paul. If what he said, bring me that, nobody had libraries back then, only the wealthy and in some of the important cities. So if Paul even has a copy of any Old Testament,
what would it be?
That's probably what he's wanting, scroll.
Or was it just his doodles?
Maybe it's his doodles. Maybe he's just got a little
his daily thoughts.
Paul's just really creative, and he's really struggling as he's processing ministry. He's gotten stressed, and he just needs his doodle board.
Yeah.
So hey, Timothy, don't forget that for me, please.
Please don't forget that.
So yeah, I want to know what it is.
First century version of an Etch-a-Sketch. So,
yeah, basically, actually, that's what they had. They had wax tablets. Yeah. So I do want to know what did he need badly, and I think it gives us insight into what he's working with a lot. I would get my guess is it's Isaiah 40-55. That's what I think he's asking for, or all of Isaiah. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I think he's requesting pieces of Isaiah. Just go read it. He's just all over Isaiah all the time. Caleb,
mine's more in the lines of the wine.
The wine family?
Cauldrons is the only word that's coming to mind now, and I know that's not right. But it's the baskets that had the loaves and the fish in it that were multiplied by Jesus to feed.
You want the loaves and fish if they could be preserved?
If they were preserved, bring them on. Let's see if they're still multiplying. Uh-huh. If not, that's fine.
But if you just had a basket, and I wonder if I put anything in there, does it multiply?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like
basket.
Indian in the Cupboard. You remember that show? That's kind of how I picture these.
That's creepy. What is that all about? Indian in the Cupboard?
Do you remember
that? I do remember that show.
You could put these little figurines in this cupboard and they'd come to life.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's kind of like a Toy Story.
That sounds creepy.
It was great. As a kid, I loved it.
I had a strange childhood.
But if you could have that basket of Jesus, or some of the baskets from Jesus multiplying the food, the bread, and the fish for the people, that's pretty sweet.
So if we're going to stick with this theme then, let me just ask this, because this is one of mine. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have, if you could preserve it, of course, the Last Supper bread and grail?
Yeah. Well, so again, that goes back to the wine, the brain, the bread.
The wine and the brain.
But the wine and the brain. But I think the cup is even one from there. The last
the cup yeah, is the one Holy Grail. That I mean, they've made movies.
We should have taken that one off the table. Wait, yeah, that's one, obviously like number that one. Yeah. Yeah. So we're assuming everybody wants Holy Grail. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Tad number two.
All right. We're going to go towards apparel in, with this one, but the white robe of Jesus after his transfiguration. He comes down from
the one mountain. The one that comes back is bleached. And so it's
bleached, white as snow. And I just kind of want to know, like,
he's defeated the Balrog. He's come back.
he returns as Gandalf the White. No, but yeah, so Jesus. So one, because I think that that would have been, it would have been interesting for people that didn't go up the mountain with him of everybody else coming down and probably they're like, they're dirty clothes. And all of a sudden he shows up and he's got this sweet new outfit on. But
that's probably what the disciples they're said. Like, hey man, dude, I dig sweet new outfit.
Sick drip, Jesus.
The digs.
No, but I think it'd be cool.
I would love for the Chosen to just depict that, and they go, sick drip Jesus. That's the words just came out of your mouth. Sick drip Jesus. Idiot. All right, here's my number two. And I'm torn on this one. It could either be, so I'll throw them both out there because they have the same, no, they're the same
you're
idea.
You only get one answer.
You only get to use one.
I like giving you all the options.
Hey guys, okay. Really quick, I got this answer. It's these brothers.
Either.
No, it's not. It's their dad.
I'm still upset that those, that he didn't make podium. I'll go with the 101. In Acts chapter 19, we see that Paul is in a city called Ephesus. And some amazing things are happening in Ephesus. They're seeing lots of people come to follow Jesus. But one of the things that we see is there's a lot of, in Ephesus, is this like kind of almost like the LA of the ancient Roman Empire. And there's a ton of superstition. There's like magicians and sorcery and all this stuff going on. There's all sorts of gods and stuff being worshipped there. But in a display of the power of Jesus, it says that Paul has a handkerchief that even people touching it, they're healed of the things that they come to the to the room with. And so what I want to know is, A, if I could get an like a letter of authenticity, a certificate of authenticity, that this is that handkerchief. It's a little bit gross. But if I could know this is that handkerchief, I want it to also know, does it still work? Because if it still works, not only the money involved, the power. Think of the power.
Now,
you could decide who gets healed.
You kind of sound like that couple that had, wasn't the demonized girl who could read fortunes?
You know who I sound like?
I can help you find the power to save Padme.
I kind of sound like that. Like so, just like Palpatine. He's who I aspire to be. He's my role model.
Even so you want, so the other one will be Hanky.
The other one will be Jesus's
no, you
tassels.
Don't get to suit. Oh, you don't get to
suit. You only got one. You only got one.
You only
was that
one.
Yours?
Huh?
That wasn't yours. I didn't take one of yours.
Tassels.
The robe he wears and the woman bleeding touches it. That would be the same vein.
Pre or post it getting bleached?
Before the drip. Before it's dripping. Okay. Caleb, number two.
Sweet new outfit.
I dig the drip.
All right. This is one that also needs to be preserved. And it's kind of...
Is it
all of yours require Tupperware, apparently.
This would need some great Tupperware. But it's the guard's ear that was cut off by gosh. Peter. Peter
he got reconnected.
Wait, you want the ear, not the sword.
Wait, shoot, it did get reconnected. My whole answer is
you want this man's corpse.
I want his head. Change it. John the Baptist's head.
That's
I
what
want
he wants.
That. To know it's
this
still
just
there.
Took a turn to
it
the
did
morbid.
Not get reconnected.
It didn't get reconnected.
It was
so
not reconnected.
He wants Jesus to unheal that guy so he can have his ear for posterity's sake.
Weird.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually was in I was leading a class this morning, and our first, you know, we usually do some kind of silly question, but again, I actually asked them this question. One of them wanted the sword that Peter uses, dagger he uses. That'd be kind of cool,
you
too.
You mean you were mining answers from a whole
golly.
Group of people?
First of all, I don't want to hear Caleb say any golly. Because that's all he does every time.
Hey, let me
I needed them. I needed a silly icebreaker question. Use any of them, I will give them the sign.
Yeah, okay. But what I wanted to do was pull a garland. And when I said I meant the man's ear, I actually was referring to
the
something
man's
Paul
father's
said.
Nose.
Not what Paul said. I was actually talking just about the whole cross.
Actually, I could. You got to give a little mini sermon.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
If you look at it from the ear to the cross...
You got it.
I want the cross.
I love that, actually. That'll preach.
All right.
Ted?
My last one is, it's requires a little imagination, but I think it would be really sentimental. Before Jesus' ministry, we get some notion that he worked as a carpenter. I just think it'd be cool if you had one of the anything he made. But we'll
do you want
just
a desk or do you want one of his tools
or a chair or tools would be cool. Actually, I think I'd want something he made. Maybe even specifically like something that involved any sort of carving work, just to see that. But you could be like, this is something Jesus made before his ministry.
Do you think there was any mythical creatures in that time that they thought of? Like, because
like Leviathan?
Yeah, okay, perfect. Well, I just, every time I drive through Alpena, I see that giant
Bigfoot statue. Oh, dude, that wood place.
Statue.
Yeah, 100%.
So you think Jesus ever carved anything like that?
Chainsaw carvings out in the...
You think he ever carved any just, I don't know...
Dude, that story is iconic.
Folktale, like...
I can't see why not.
He was a man of the people.
I can't see why not.
People love those things.
The kids love them.
They do.
Honestly.
Yeah,
Jesus,
he knew what he was
chainsawed.
Doing. I don't see why not.
I don't know if there's as much disposable income to create a market like that.
He
at
probably
that
didn't
time.
Have enough time to make giant dragon statues.
I mean, I'm telling you, the Bigfoot in Alpena is huge.
It's a big one.
That's true.
It's impressive.
That's true.
It's a big one.
It's authentic. So the third one will be this. My third one will be this. I got a couple. Okay, here we go.
Choose one.
I'm going to go with this. If you could have all of it or even a piece of it, the temple veil that was torn.
Yeah. That's
so
good.
All of it, a piece of it. If you could prove this is that veil that was torn and have that in your living room, like your office
cool
or whatever that would
if
be.
You could have like a section of each side.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
With the authenticity.
So people walk in, what is that? You go, you remember the veil was torn? I've got a certificate of authenticity right here. But that's it. And you have like a torn piece of it.
It's a doorway you have to walk through.
I would never touch
it. Like to a, like you have like a private speakeasy in your house. That'd be kind of cool. Think about that. I have
also
a problem, apparently.
A little sacrilegious is kind of what I was thinking,
you
too.
Go through there to the
unless,
speakeasy.
Yeah. Unless behind the veil in the speakeasy, it was only water to wine.
Why did that come to my head first? What's wrong with me?
A sanctuary into
like a prayer room?
A prayer room.
No, I went to a speakeasy.
Yeah.
All right, Caleb, number three.
This is gold, and you'll see why in a second, but there's a story in Mark chapter 5.
Here he goes. I was wondering if he was going to make his appearance.
It involves a man and his pigs.
The question is, what memorabilia item do you want?
Let me explain. There's a point where those pigs are demonized. They go run off a cliff, and they land in what, Garland?
They land in the Sea of Galilee.
And they land in the sea.
So
those bones are down there somewhere.
I'm going to be dead serious.
I want the bones of the demon pigs.
We've talked about the demon pig guy, obviously, many times on here. And so frequently we've noted that, but this is not shameless. I'm very pleased with this. When we were there and we went down to the water and then we went on a boat, I kid you not, I know it's 2,000 years. I was looking hard for those bones down there. I was like, they've got to be in here somewhere.
Completely deteriorated, disintegrated, turned to dust and sand at the bottom of the lake.
They turned to dust and sand like 1,990 years ago. But I'm like, I bet I could find one.
They're preserved.
No.
Tupperware.
Okay, yes, in Tupperware. But could you imagine having a flock of demonized pig bones?
Can we just let me just call a quick timeout on this?
Yeah.
Why?
I believe it's a herd.
I think it's gag flock. I actually think it's gag.
Here's the issue with tonight, and I need to ask you if you're all right. Actually, this is I need to just maybe have a little quick pastoral moment with you, even though it's here with all of us. Two of your answers of three involved corpses being preserved in a bizarre way for 2,000 years. Are you okay?
One was a mistake.
What's wrong with you?
The other was
the
skeletons.
The head of John the Baptist and dead skeleton pigs. Do we need to talk?
I'm just saying,
if you actually had a skull on your desk, like a
pig skull?
It's actually, no, a human one.
God, you're going his way now. What is wrong with you?
That's the head of John the Baptist.
That's weird. That's weirder than the speakeasy with the veil.
Less sacrilegious, but equally weird.
More weird, less sacrilegious.
That's
let's be clear. All right. My three. Let's go with our. My three were the Paul's parchments, the temple veil, a piece of it, and then Paul's handkerchief. Cloak that was
his snot rag,
his handkerchief.
Those that heals. It still has the healing power. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you can add that in.
So I can have. No, I said that. I said that I can have the power.
Shoot, I forgot.
Yeah, I said.
Did
that.
I say the bones of the pigs heal anyone that touched them?
They didn't heal anybody. Those bones did nothing. This one really did do that.
At the bottom true. Of the
okay, what were your three, Tad?
I had one of the jugs from the wedding at Cana. That Jesus used to turn water to wine. I think that one's up there. And then Jesus' white robe after the transfiguration. and some woodworking project that Jesus made.
Y'all have tossed so many of mine out because of conjecture.
I actually like
that. I like that one. We know he was a carpenter. Here's the thing. It feels very sentimental. And that's why I think it's special.
It doesn't need to be big.
No, it's something small. Something like, this is something he made
right
when he was working as a carpenter.
If I did, with Joseph.
Unless it's a life-size version of a Bigfoot. Yeah.
If I gave a conjecture answer like that, y'all would toss it out so fast. You're going to love Taz, I'm sure, for that. What were your three, Caleb?
Mine were all podium. one was the...
Morbid freak tonight.
One was the basket that held the loaves.
Moldy bread, yep.
It could be in there or not.
So his answers were moldy dead bread, the head of John the Baptist.
No, it was the guard's ear.
The guard's ear.
Put back on, which leads us to a reminder of the cross.
To the cross.
I want Jesus' cross. And then the other was the remains of the pig.
He wants the
all
pig,
the pigs. Yeah,
pig scale. He wants all of them. He wants 1,000 pig skeletons. I think we get the point in your man cave after one.
Of the demonized the pigs pig
come up in your yard.
Let's see. Let's first just check with Daniel if any of those stand out to him as overly worthy.
Caleb knows my heart, man. Yes. He just knows, demonized pig bones is great, but yes. I'm not going to put it. Up there, I know.
I'm kind of hurt.
The problem
is,
it doesn't make podium in comparison to some of our answers.
Well, I was going
to
say, yes. I think everyone did really good. I was when you threw out this topic, I was like, dude, there's not as many objects in the New Testament.
No, there's plenty.
Some good ones.
Y'all did a really good job. I think Tad has two on the podium.
Which two?
The Cana jugs, wedding at Cana.
Yep.
And the Jesus drip.
Yeah.
Come on, Jesus drip, dude.
Your answer was Cana jugs and Jesus drip.
And then Garland, I think your best is veil.
I like the veil.
I like Garland's veil.
I think veil should be up there.
The baskets are good. The ear and the head is weird.
Thank you. Somebody else agreeing with me.
The demonized pig bones is so good, but I think we've put it on podium so many times, we have to take it off.
Can I throw an honorable mention in just to see if it even makes the podium?
Jesus' pillow?
In the boat?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's I didn't think about that.
That's mine.
That would be one. That would be one. So Daniel's got one.
That's kind of a deep dive.
That might actually go. I was going to say the coin, because ancient Roman coins are actually valuable anyway, but the coin that they retrieve from the fish's mouth
would
be really valuable. So we got to put them on the podium now. We've got the water jars. We've got the veil. And we've got, I think we go with the carved. Something Jesus made. Okay. Yeah. How do we rank these? I actually think...
Veil is one, in my opinion.
You know,
whoa.
What were you going to say before?
I was going to say
the ceremonial jugs, but we could go with the veil. I think
the veil's out there. I think, to me, Jesus' first miracle, and you get one of those ceremonial jars from Cana, that's pretty cool.
I think if you... I was going to say if you include the wine in it, somehow that wine was sealed, and I've got 30 gallons... of Jesus wine in the ceremonial jug.
That's pretty cool.
To me, and the symbolism of that.
The symbolism and
I'm
actually,
willing to forego my goal.
If it has the wine in it, it is almost kind of cooler because it's like, and we're waiting until the great wedding.
I think you taste it.
At the end.
All right, that's cool. Ceremonial wine,
but
then veil.
Do you taste it? Do you at least taste it?
You can never taste it.
You have to wait.
Daniel, do you taste it?
Here's the thing. My curiosity wins out. I would try.
But just a drop.
But you don't.
A little bit. Yeah.
There's so much.
There's our ceremonial wine,
then veil,
and then the
carving.
Something Jesus made as a carpenter.
Skeletons.
I think you misunderstood.
We can put that in as a co-bronze, since Dad did that last time. A co-bronze.
No co-bronze here.
With that in mind, thanks for listening. New Testament Memorabilia, Lower Room Discourse. We hope that was fun and interesting and not blasphemous. If it was all of those things, then share it with a friend and follow us on Instagram @TheLowerRoomDiscourse. See you next time.